Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today we have a subject matter that I really became educated on. And what is that subject matter? It's child identity theft. And our guest today is Joe Mason. And I have just absolutely had my eyes opened to a reality that, not having young children in my life at this time, I just really didn't give much thought to. Child identity theft. This is very real. The information we're going to be sharing with you today is meant to make you aware of the fact that this is going on and that a member of your family or even someone that you know that has children needs to be alerted to this. My guest, Joe Mason, is a general manager of IdentityGuard.com, and he's a senior VP at Intersections, Inc. And protecting people's identity has been his first and foremost interest and concern. And I want to welcome Joe Mason to the show. Thank you for joining me today. I know you are with your family on a holiday period.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Don. More than happy to talk to you and your audience about this topic.
Now, you have been involved in protecting the identities of well over 3 million Americans. You are a man that really has a passion for this. And as I said in the beginning, this was really an eye-opener for me. When I was going through the information in your book, Bankrupt at Birth, I was appalled. I really was. And part of it maybe is just my being naive. I just can't imagine someone even taking the time to do this. But identity theft, and I know that this is real, has happened to so many unsuspecting people. And in our electronic age, it is unbelievable. This with the children, though, what turned you on to this, where you stepped from the dealing with the adults into becoming involved with the children?
Well, it's a really good question. And first thing I want to say, Donna, is you're not alone in thinking that identity theft only happens to adults. Most people believe that. But as you've seen in my book, and as we're seeing with recent stats, that's just not the case. Children are vulnerable, too. Children are affected in a big way for what we call child identity theft. And I got into this business years ago and have protected the identities of millions of Americans. And the company that I'm with, Intersections, we've protected over 30 million consumers in terms of protecting their identities from identity theft. And what I've found over the years is this alarming rise in the number of children that are affected by these thieves. And there are a lot of parents who scratch their head and they say, well, why? How does this work? Why would a thief want my child's information? What good is an 8-year-old little girl's identity to an identity thief? And when you start to understand and learn about how accounts are created and how credit is created, what you realize is that there is a really, really important 9-digit number called your Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically the linchpin to all accounts that are opened.
Right.
And unfortunately, at birth, children are between the ages of birth to 1 year old, per the IRS, required to have a Social Security number. That is, if the parent wants to claim them as a dependent on their tax return. So what has happened is the kind of the lockdown to make sure that people weren't claiming dependents that didn't exist Social Security number was the mandate. And as a mandate, the number of dependents that were filed as part of tax returns declined in a huge way. So the government thought, oh, victory. Now we're not paying out claims for dependents that don't exist. We're paying out for real dependents of real families.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that nine-digit number being exposed, identity thieves are finding those numbers. And if you have any parents listening, and I'm sure you do, think about the number of times that you've been asked, either from a pediatrician or a daycare or a school or a sports team, how many times you've provided that Social Security number. And in the wrong hands, that number can be used to open the account and to damage the credit, which is kind of the whole issue related to child identity theft today. But it's a very real problem.
Now, let's chat a little bit about the history of the Social Security number itself. Because in the real world, most individuals for the longest time believed that their Social Security number was to be secured, that it was never to be given out. What caused the shift into using the Social Security number as an identity? You cannot go anywhere to a bank. You cannot do loans. You can't do anything involving just about whatever, an application for a credit card, you name it, where your Social Security number is not used. In fact, the typical pattern is, give me the last four digits of your social when you go in to check on a credit card or something else in case somebody has stolen your card or you feel like there is a potential of damage to a checking account, a savings account. I know that happened to me a couple of years ago. And it's a real eye-opener that it is used as an identification. Give us some history on this. How did this come about? Because it was not supposed to be used this way.
Well, you're exactly right. The Social Security number originally was used for Social Security Administration, Social Security benefits, and also used by the IRS to track tax payments to individuals and help with tax returns. The trouble is there were so many people that in the United States with similar names that the Social Security number kind of became the de facto national ID number. It became very easy to say, for the government to say, well, wait a second. We've already got the Social Security number. We can use it for other purposes. And banks said, oh, yeah, we want to use it for other purposes, too, so that we can really identify someone, who they are, their identity, and the date of birth, even if there's a similar name or similar date of birth or similar address, the Social Security number is the differentiator. And the Social Security number doesn't change. We progress through life. When you move, when you get a new job, when you get laid off, whatever the case is, it's a stamp that you own, and you are the only one that is supposed to own that Social Security number throughout your life. But for cost reasons, for logistics reasons, for efficiency reasons, the number has just become that identifier. And to your point, Donna, used for opening up bank accounts or checking your credit by your utility company or your cell phone company or any financial institution or insurance company. And it's become so pervasive that whether we like it or not, we as consumers in this day and age are extremely vulnerable, we're extremely exposed, because our number's out there. And
yes,
there are plenty of legitimate reasons for it to be out there, but it's out there and there's no kind of pulling it back in. All we can do is really monitor and practice really safe habits for ourselves and our kids.
Well, the fact is that with this electronic age, and generally most of us really enjoy it, using it, it sped things up in so many respects, but the rate of identity theft has been astronomical. I know people who are in the banking industry, in the fraud departments, and they say sometimes we cannot even trace things because there is such a complicated, convoluted system to be able to have access to records. You have hackers that get in, millions of names, phone numbers, etc., maybe picked up by somebody in Nigeria. The insulation factor, the protection factor, has become less and less as there's more and more sophistication. It's absolutely incredible. And I think for many individuals, they go, oh, well, I just don't need to think about it. But you do need to think about it. But every time you go into a computer, you can have a spyware that's on it. That's what happened to me. Somebody had implemented a spyware system that I didn't know anything about. There's no red blinking light saying, watch out, here it is. And it got in, and someone had access to my account. Now, I'm digressing for a minute, but this is what has been happening with a lot of children who are assigned identification numbers, the Social Security number, and mom and dad don't even realize that until their kid starts to go to college and they apply for a scholarship or they want to get a loan. All of a sudden, what do you mean you want to get a loan? You've been on disability or you've been dead for all of this time. I mean, I'm sort of chuckling, but I mean, it's not comical. It is, how could someone be dead? And how do you prove this? I mean, what do we do? What do parents do? Because this is something most people won't even give 5 seconds of thought to because they don't even believe that this can happen, especially to a number just assigned to a child.
Yeah, you know, you raise a really interesting point. And the fact is, you can be the most conscientious person in America and still have your identity stolen. And it can be through no fault of your own. But there are some things that you can do to mitigate the risk, and certainly things you can do to detect problems more quickly than you would otherwise. Starting out, what I encourage everyone to do is just have a very selfish, protective mindset when it comes to your information. Your name, your date of birth, your social are yours. And the way we were taught growing up not to talk to strangers, be the same way when it comes to the information that you provide. And make sure that the information that's provided is provided to a legitimate institution or organization that has a legitimate need for it. Most reputable banks, if you are going to open an account, particularly a credit account, they need to know your Social Security number so they can run a credit check to see if you're creditworthy. Sports teams don't need your child's Social Security number in order for them to enroll on the sports team. So I use those as two pretty extreme examples of where one, it's more necessary than the other. Mm-hmm. But practicing really good conscientious habits as a parent include things like be careful where you give out your social, and when you do give it out, make sure you ask a few questions and don't be afraid to ask a few questions. The first, obviously, is why do you need my Social Security number? The second would be how is it going to be protected? And the third would be if there is some sort of breach, how will I be notified? And if the organization can't answer those three questions, then I would hesitate about proceeding. And believe me, the people on the receiving end of the people asking for that information are hearing more than ever no, and hearing more than ever why do you need it, or are you saying I can't proceed without providing this? So don't be shy about asking those things that are completely legitimate and completely reasonable from your perspective. So that's kind of the parent angle. Other things like keeping antivirus up to date on your computer to try to avoid things like spyware on your machine or what is called key logging, where software can get onto your computer and actually record all of your keystrokes. Be very cautious of links that are embedded in emails from suspicious sources. Don't click on them. Delete them. Put them in your spam box. Junk mail that you receive online, get rid of it. Keep a junk folder. Clean it out. Unsubscribe to the things that seem to come to you incessantly, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. And then for your children, the don't talk to strangers mantra applies in all sorts of ways today because you've got social media, you've got technology, we've got a society that is kind of this instant gratification society that we live in, and kids today are just, they feel like it's okay and it's cool to be transparent. And social media has created this world of transparency where we share everything that's going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about kind of identity theft. It's about vacation travel or, you know, hey, I'm on vacation, so no one's at my house. Or, you know, here's my dog's name and my sister's name and so on. And here's a bunch of information about my family out in social media. And if you're careless about setting up your passwords and things like that, if these can easily kind of piece together ways to access files that you may have or banking accounts that you may have and deplete your banking account, which is becoming more common than ever. And these are just some of the ways that parents can take matters into their own hands and do the right things for themselves and their kids.
I know that this has just been escalating at a phenomenal rate, and I have some points that I want to bring out that you mentioned in your book. There was a Scilab study involving the examining records of 42,232 children. Now, these were age 18 and under, and it was during the time 2009 to 2010, they found 4,311 that had their social security numbers used by other people, and 76% of that involved malicious fraud, often by members of their own family, which was just disgusting, and 24 members were cases of accidental mixed credit file information, and that's something that I think happens a lot more than people realize. And the largest fraud of $725,000 was committed against a 16-year-old girl, and the youngest victim was 5 months old, and there were over 300 that were under the age of five. Now, when you think about this, maybe it would be better for parents not to get the Social Security number as soon as the baby's born, because all of that is in hospital records, sort of like the thumbprint, the footprint that they do with babies, which have been done for years. But here you've got all of this information that's in this electronic file, and files are hacked into. Am I being a little bit suspicious, or is this something that parents can think about? Because really, the Social Security number is not needed by schools, is it?
There are some schools in the, there are some states where the Social Security number is used as the identifier. And the number of states, I think, Donna, is around 27 states out of the 50, quote, require it. You do not have to provide it at school. There are many schools who use other ways to identify the child, like address, like date of birth, who the parents are, what the child's name is. There are ways around it. With respect to what the government is doing, they recognize in a huge way that this is becoming a problem, and they realize that a problem was created when Social Security issuance occurred between the ages of birth and 1 year old. What some states are doing, and I applaud this, states like Utah and states as recently as Maryland, it was in the news this week, Maryland just passed a law that allows parents to put a credit freeze on their child's Social Security number. The beauty about that is it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can still have a Social Security number on your child in order to get the dependent benefits that I talked about when it comes to filing your taxes, but you can also be more assured that no one is going to be able to open accounts, credit accounts, using that child's Social Security number. And it's a step in the right direction. Parents can, like they do for themselves, adults, they can monitor their own identities. And there are products on the market. KidSure, which is a product of ours by Identity Guard, is one such service that monitors the information on the child. And in the event that something suspicious happens with the child's information, including the Social Security number, the parents are alerted, and they can then take action with the credit bureaus or the police or the financial institution to make sure that those accounts are shut down. But absent that, parents don't have a lot of insight into whether or not any suspicious activity for fraudulent activity is occurring using their child's information.
You have a statement in your book, the Federal Trade Commission says, based on its data and the complaints it is getting, the main use of a stolen identity appears to be government documents benefits fraud. And 27% of all complaints involve criminals using bogus tax returns. And you break down the identity fraud into criminal identity theft, posing as another person when apprehended for a crime, financial identity theft, using another's identity to obtain credit, goods, and services, identity cloning, using another's information to assume his or her identity in daily life, medical identity, using someone else's identity and insurance information to obtain medical care or drugs, and child identity theft, which the book Bankrupt at Birth covers. But you have so much information in this book, and you talk about some stories about some young people, and one of them, her name was Betts. She was 19 years old. Axton Betts is her name. This is a young lady. She graduates from high school, and lo and behold, she finds out how her identity was stolen. Tell us her story, because it's incredible.
Donna, you're going to have to help me with that specific person.
Okay.
I've got so many people that I've written about in the book. So if you have it there and if you know the highlights of what you want to share, I'll be glad to add some color.
Axton didn't even know there was a problem until at 19, she goes out to get her first off-campus apartment in West Lafayette, Indiana. And the power company told her she had to pay a $100 deposit to turn on the electricity. And she just assumed, okay, I'm a new customer. They don't have any credit history on me. But she, just for the heck of it, got a copy of a credit report using, obviously, her Social Security number. And she said she thought it was going to be a page on student loans because she had made some applications for it, but instead found that there were 10 pages of negative, very negative payment records, including defaulted credit cards. It blew her away because it was going to affect everything that she was involved with. She's 19 years old. Nobody had a clue.
Thank you for illustrating that and providing some context. Her situation is not unlike many others, and that is when child identity theft occurs, oftentimes it occurs between the ages of 6 and 12, so right in those years. And damage can go undetected for years before either the child or the parent realizes that something's gone on. In this particular case that you just described, the similarities with that are she was on her way to do something, and that's when she noticed a major problem, a problem that had occurred years before in her life. And this is what is happening more and more often these days. And in a more simple example, and this is another family that I've talked to, their child had his identity stolen when he was around 10 years old. When he turned, I think, 16 or 17, the parents thought he was mature enough to get his own cell phone. So they go to the cell phone store and they try to get a cell phone, only to be given a litany of problems: fraud, bankruptcy, credit score that was just completely trashed, and all sorts of things that had the parents scratching their head and saying, no, this can't be my child, when in fact, of course, wasn't their physical child. It was the identity of their child that had been used by a criminal. Exactly the story that you just described in Axton's case is that she didn't know any of this was going on until she really needed to rely on what history she felt like she had created for herself, which was pretty flawless in her mind and everyone else's mind, only to find out that damage had occurred and she had no idea.
There's other points you bring out that I just think are, I know this for a fact to be true. Immigration. There are many times immigrants who use stolen Social Security numbers and they're victimized by unscrupulous lawyers or consultants who call them credit protection numbers, and it enables them to get legitimate documentation. And so frequently, these are numbers of children, Social Security numbers of kids. And when I read that, I just clicked in with some conversations I've had with different individuals in the last couple of years relative to immigration. And how in the world can people go and get jobs when you've got to have Social Security numbers and they're illegals? And I thought, click, this is one of the tools that they use. So hackers get into these systems, and you talk about in the book how many school systems are broken into. And even the federal government has had break-ins and hackers where tens of thousands of Social Security numbers have been discovered. Hospitals have been hacked into. I mean, there are these unethical people, and I was surprised to learn that Puerto Rico is apparently a major target of child identity thieves because the children that are born there are automatically made U.S. citizens and have Hispanic names, typically. So those names are absolutely ideal to sell to people that are coming into this country with Hispanic background.
That's right. And part of the problem with the government, part of the problem with financial institutions is that there isn't a really good way of matching a name, address, or date of birth with a Social Security number. So what's happening is thieves are getting hold of just a Social Security number that they view as clean. A clean Social Security number is one that doesn't have any history associated with it. Well, what doesn't have any history associated with it? A child's Social Security number. So once they get that, once they obtain that, they create these synthetic identities, fake identities, and they can attach a fake name, a fake date of birth, fake address with a legitimate social, and they can fill out a credit card application, and they can submit the credit card application to the financial institution. And you know what the financial institution sees? They see a clean credit file.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, we're not going to give this person a $20,000 credit line, but we're going to give them enough to get them started to prove their credit worthiness. And that's the financial piece. The immigration piece works in a similar way. Hey, I've got a legitimate Social Security number with a different name, different address, and I'm trying to get work here in the United States, and I'm an illegal immigrant. Boy, that's one quick, easy way to do it if I can buy for a few bucks a Social Security number on the black market. And that is common today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, Joe, your information, this book is just packed with it, and it's very well written because it's easy for the layperson to understand. And most of us are aware that we shouldn't put personal information on Facebook, but as you said, the kids of today don't think twice about it. Well, there's a lot of adults that are the same way. They just feel like, well, whatever I put up there, even if it's just for my family, nobody can have access to it. That's not true. You have to look at it as a public viewing site. I don't care what privacy settings you've got on there, it's still accessible. And you go into detail regarding the social networking, the dangers that are there for anyone. And when it comes to dealing with your children, you have to understand that there is a whole venue out there that has evolved with this phenomenal technology that we have developed that those that are of criminal intent are going to utilize, and you just don't want to end up being a victim. So you want to be proactive with this. You don't need to be paranoid. You just need to be proactive. And just know you don't have to have this happen. But the book, Bankrupt at Birth, I think is a real must-read for just about anybody. And Joe Mason, you have a website called identityguard.com. where people can go in and can check on this and can actually be aware of this information on multiple levels, which I think is great. I wish you and your family a wonderful holiday season, and thanks again for taking time out of your vacation with your family during the holidays here. I really appreciate it. Your subject matter is vital and extremely important. Thank you for sharing it with us, Joe.
Thank you, Donna. I really enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
This has been Joe Mason. His book is Bankrupt at Birth, but it's got a lot more in it than that. It is an eye-opener relative to how you need to protect yourself and those that you love from having their identity stolen. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Check out identityguard.com. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And I know so many of you are getting ready for the New Year's celebration that's just around the corner. And I know you're going to be fixing special things. And I have got a recipe for brie. And it's really nice for an appetizer. So if you're going to be up late and you want to have a special snack that's really going to tickle the taste buds of those that you're going to be celebrating New Year's Eve with, well, get your pad of paper and pen handy because this recipe is really easy and I'm going to be sharing it with you. Also, telephone lines are open, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number you can call into if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I want you to know that on New Year's Eve day, we are not New Year's Eve day, New Year's Eve day, I'm going to be having an open mic show. So we're not going to have a guest that day. And you can call in and I'll give you projections and information for the new year of 2000. But also on New Year's Day, we're going to be running a Best of Donna. And next week, we've got some guests that are really, really powerful people. Carl Helvey is a gentleman who has published a book about how you can beat lung cancer. Now, this may seem rather strange for someone to say it, because if you talk to most medical professionals, whenever they hear about lung cancer, it's a death verdict automatically. Well, that's not the case. And what they're finding out about cancer more and more is that you need to find out how you can nutritionally battle this and how it is something that can be very, very easily done, but you must be dedicated to it with supplementation and diet. So we're going to be learning about that. Heavenly Hugs, Carla Brandon's going to be giving my guest, We're going to be talking about some fun subject matter, and then Teresa Tapp. This is a woman that I absolutely have such a tremendous respect for, but I also love her exercise program. And let's face it, after the holidays, we want to get ourselves focused. We have all these delicious yum-yum things that we're eating, and maybe you're feeling bloated and you wonder, how can you get yourself back into shape within a relatively short period of time? And just sort of pulling back on all the extra carbs and goodies and sweets that you've been eating, well, Teresa can tell you how to do this, and I will tell you, it works. I've been using her 15-minute program for years, as well as another part of her program. She is amazing what she has been able to develop. It really does work. Guys, gals, it doesn't make any difference. So we've got a dynamic week that's coming up, starting off the new year with information that on the Donna Sebo Show we always like to bring to you, information that's going to empower you as an individual. If you can use it, great. If you can share it with someone else, that's just as good, if in some respects maybe even better. Because what we want you to know, what I want you to know, is that you're not a victim in life. You are someone that can take some of the most difficult situations in life and turn them around and make them more of what you want them to be. And I'm happy to help you with that with my intuitive skills. So if you want to chat with me today, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. I was sent some tips by, and this is just a little bit of light stuff here, on various things that can make your life a little bit easier. And I don't have the person's name that sent it to me. And by the way, I want to thank those of you who, through the years, have sent me email information on video programs or history or various aspects of details that I've been able to share with my listening audience. I really appreciate that. Now, one of the things that I was not aware of, and this seems a little bit silly, but when you buy bananas, if you take them apart when you get home from the store, they are not going to ripen as fast. And if you're like me, you might not use them up sometimes as quickly as you normally would. Well, if you want to make banana bread, the riper the banana is, the better. But I had no idea, if you leave all the stems connected, they ripen faster. So just a little tip to pass on. And if you want, and this I've been doing for years, if you want to have scrambled eggs that have that real moist and a dense texture to them that has a flavor to it, all you need to do is add spoonfuls of sour cream, cream cheese, or heavy cream, and then beat them. Oh, they come out so luscious. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line. We'll show you how it's done. Welcome to the show, caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hey, Donna, it's Angeline. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Anne. Happy holidays to you.
It's Angeline.
Oh, Angeline, I'm sorry. All right, let's give you some insight into what's going on with you. What I want you to do, first of all, is take some time to be by yourself. And I really want you to wind down. Find a place. It could be a coffee shop. It could be the library. It could be, you know, your own home. But I want you to be alone, and I want you to be quiet. I don't want you to be bothered with the cell phone, the computer, nothing. I want you to have your little quiet space. Maybe fix yourself a cup of tea, whatever it is that you want to do. But I want you to really think about some of the changes that you want to implement in the new year. Because you've got so much going on, you've got so many loose ends in your life right now that you thought you were going to be able to tie up. And you keep getting this running interference. It's like a lot of trivial stuff. And you say, oh, I'm taking so much time just with the trivial stuff. So you really need to focus and make a list of all the things that are occupying your time, and it could be emails, whatever, and you say, all right, what can I do with my time management? Because you've got two significant objectives. One is relating to career, and another is relating to your personal life and your health. And it's like those two need to maintain a focus. And you need to be able to say no to some of the interferences that come in, whether it's family members or something else. You need to have clarity with this. So I'd like to see you do it before the new year. And just be very aware and then post something, get it all ready, so that as of the new year, next week, you're going to know that what you have got in front of you, every time you look at it, you're going to say focus. And the word focus should be in big letters. and then have the two components that you want to focus on and put that in number one priority. Because if you don't do that, you're going to find that a lot of the sidetracking that kept you from accomplishing certain things in 2012, it's going to be the same thing in 2013. So the focusing is going to be very, very important. So I'm looking at you restructuring your habits, and then there's an opportunity towards the fall of 2013 for you to take a giant step forward relative to an economic career stepping forward. And this is going to mean a lot to you. But without the focus, you may miss the opportunity. So don't try to have 500 items that you want to work with in 2013. Keep your focus on two. And you might be able to pull in some other stuff as you go along, but keep your focus. And one of the things you're going to have to be alert to, you've got two friends that are very needy. They're good people, but they're very needy. You're going to discover that when you're spending time with them, that there's times just to have what I'd say fun stuff, and that's okay. But when you're trying to be focused and they're in their needy moment, you need to be able to say, thank you, but I can't spend the time with you. I've got something else.
Are you picking up that they're female?
I honestly don't know. They might be female. Okay. I'm not positive here. One I know is, but I'm not positive about the other. So you will discern this, and when you do, and you're not going to lose them as friends, but you're going to find it's a friendship that is not going to be as supportive as your focus as you would like for it to be. And that's all right. They're who they are. You have to keep your focus. And one of the components is on your health. You want to do what's right for you. And that's going to be discipline. But you're going to do so well in 2013 if you stay focused.
Do you have a question for me? I'm so happy to... Oh, no, I'm just so happy to hear your voice. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope you're doing well, but keep that focus there, dear.
Okay, Happy New Year, Donna. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. If you would like to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008, and I'll be glad to give you my insights so that your life perhaps can be a little bit more empowered than maybe you feel at the moment. So again, 888-627-6008. Quickly, I wanted to just share a little bit of information with you about lost kingdoms. I'm sure you've heard about the city of El Dorado. Yes, that is in South America. And in the 1500s, Spanish conquistadors heard about this land of unthinkable wealth, and it was loaded with gold, precious jewels. And the tale has lived on. The Spanish conquistadors were just unbelievable in their hunger for gold. They destroyed so much in the process, but they never found the lost city of gold. And they think, they're not positive because it's never been found, that it is in a lagoon area. There's a legend about Lake Titicaca that it was somewhere also near present-day Colombia. It exists, but we've never found it, which I think in many ways probably is a very good thing because it might bring a lot of uncomfortable changes to the region, whatever, wherever it is located. But also Atlantis. Now, they have found remnants of cities underwater off of Japan, off of the coast of Florida. There is so much that's underwater that we have not been able to really have more information about. But it's all caused this lost city by the Greek philosopher Plato. Now, they think he dreamt it up. He didn't dream it up. It actually existed. But it, because of volcanic explosions and other elements of nature that went on, went underwater. So the search is on. Roads have been found. Exact details, well, that may be coming in the future if there are going to be more land shifts. And also in Wales. The Cantor Gawald, it's said to have perished due to debauchery. Don't you just love it when they come up with something that is, well, rather, what do I want to say here? Unique in the reason that it disappeared. Apparently, it is a legendary ancient sunken kingdom in Wales, and it was supposed to have existed previously in Cardigan Bay. And they say that the kingdom's church bells will ring out in times of danger for the Welsh. And I'll leave with Shangri-La. Well, it was depicted in the 1933 novel of Lost Horizon by British author James Hilton. People feel that it still exists somewhere, a spiritual community of beauty where nobody grows old. If you've never seen the movie, you ought to watch it. It's gorgeous. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment, and I will share that fabulous recipe for brie baked in a bread bowl. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, New Year's Eve, what are you going to have for something different? I know, pigs in a blanket and baked beans, and there's all of these traditional things, chicken wings. But I don't know about you. I really don't enjoy those all that much. Once in a while, that's fine. But when you're having a party, and this is really good for even, let's say, a New Year's Day, if you're wanting to have something in the way of an hors d'oeuvre, something that's flavorful, because there's the Rose Parade and there's the football games and all kinds of good things. And this enables you not to have to fool around with any kind of pastry. And brie, you can fix the cheese in so many wonderful ways. The first time I ever had brie that had been baked was at an art show. We had someone come in and cater for the art show that I was the chairperson of. And they had taken brie and had put, like, sugar on the top of it, and it went under the broiler, and, oh, it was delicious. You just dip your crackers or whatever you wanted in it, and people could take an amount out. And it just was delicious. Brie is a wonderful cheese, very soft. But when I found out that you could bake brie in a pastry, which a lot of people do, that also is quite good. This is so easy. So let me give you this recipe. You're going to need a half a cup of port wine. This is for flavoring. A half a cup of port wine, preferably ruby red port wine. And you're going to need 2 strips of orange zest, 3.5 inches by 1 inch. You're going to need a half a cup of dried figs, and they need to be chopped. You need a round loaf of crusty bread. Now, it should be 6.5 inches in diameter, and it should weigh about 1 pound. And that's easy enough to get. You think of the soup bowls that often they use in restaurants that are made of bread. It's that size. You know, it's just right. And if you wanted to do multiples of these, you can do multiples of these. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of apple jelly, and that needs to be melted. And that can be done in a little pan over, you know, low heat. A half a cup of chopped toasted walnuts, 1/4 cup of dried apricots. These need to be chopped too. 2 tablespoons of golden raisins, 1/2 teaspoon of chopped fresh thyme, and you need a whole round baby brie cheese, and it's 5 inches in diameter. It weighs about 13 to 13.2 ounces, and you're going to need 1 small pear. It weighs about 5 or 6 ounces, and you want to core it, and you want to slice it just wafer thin. Now, your port, your orange zest, you want to put it in a small saucepan, and over medium-high heat, you want to bring it to a boil. Then you toss in your chopped figs, and you reduce your heat to very low and let it cook for about 5 minutes. You're going to remove it from the heat, put the pan aside, let it cool. If you wanted to do this the night before, that would really be a very good thing, too. So part of this can be done in advance. Your oven, you want to preheat to 350 degrees, and you want to horizontally cut about an inch thick slice off of the top of your bread bowl, and that works very well if you use a serrated knife. And you pull out and discard enough of the soft bread from the crust so that your brie fits right inside. So just scoop it out and put the brie cheese in. Now, the port, fig, and orange zest mixture that you have had that's cooled and been sitting, you want to drain that, and you want to take the zest out. And you want to leave the figs and the port together, obviously. And then you take 3 tablespoons of the port with the apple jelly. And then in a bowl, you mix your figs with your walnuts, apricots, raisins, thyme, and 3 tablespoons of your melted jelly mixture. And trim the rind from the top of the cheese. And cut your cheese in half. Put the bottom of the cheese, and this is horizontally, you place the bottom of the cheese in the bread, top it with the fig mixture, then put on your other cheese portion, put your pear slices over your cheese, cover it with the top of the bread, wrap it in foil, put it on a baking sheet, you bake it for 45 to 50 minutes, the cheese will be nice and hot and ooey and gooey, and then you unwrap it when it's finished baking, remove the top. Let it stand for 30 minutes before you serve it. And the pears that are on top, then what you want to do is brush that with a jelly mixture, and you can, if you want, reheat the cheese if you want in a microwave. I'd recommend you not, because sometimes your bread and the cheese can get an unusual texture. And you cut your bread top into pieces, and you let people dip into this delicious cheese mixture. It's so good. It is just really, really good, and it's beautiful. And if you wanted to fix more than one, you can double or triple this recipe. This is very, very nice, especially if you want to surprise people with a whole different taste. Well, I know that we are all out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. I am so delighted that you've been able to share this time with me. Have an absolutely awesome holiday weekend, and remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a new year right here, right now. Take time to think about what you want to do with it. Realize that you can make some changes in your life if you need to make them. But take advantage of the day. Seize the moment. Carpe diem. As a lady I knew, Dottie Walters, used to say, it was her slogan. Remember, your moment is now. This is the time for you to be aware that you have whole new opportunities and potential for you right in front of your nose. Greet it with a sense of joy, of enthusiasm, and realize you're pretty special. And I'm so glad you're a part of the show and support it as you do. Thank you so much, and we'll be talking real soon. Welcome in 2013. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.